Because of the delay in getting everything opened and set up, it turns out we are running only about an hour late. We do have a few announcements and discussion items before we get started this morning. Joining me on my facilitation team is Marilee Davies. This is her first time co-facilitating, and so be gentle with us both, because you know I'm not very experienced either. But all right. This morning is very exciting, but first let's take care of a couple of housekeeping items. We need to make a couple changes to the agenda, and we'd like to propose those at least. We have got two breakout sessions scheduled for today, and it's possible that we really would benefit from just one. I don't know how you guys feel about this, so let's chat this over here. We have lunch scheduled for 11:35, and we definitely need a good solid hour for strategy discussion. So it gives us about 35 minutes extra. So we're proposing that we eliminate the morning breakout session and create extra investment in the second breakout session. If your group will not benefit from that, let me know. Do I have any strong objections to eliminating the morning breakout session? Okay, then let's go ahead and do that. So this gives us, we are now at 10 a.m. And we are going to have a short report on the county polling. Is that about 5 to 10 minutes? We did a report yesterday.
There was a request this morning to have a little more detailed report, like, you know, what the numbers were and a few things like that. So
I think we may even have that on the board, right? We may still have that from yesterday.
We need to ask if that information is available.
Okay, so perhaps we can warm up a little bit. When you hear the words, brain fart. When you hear the words strategy session, what is your response? Oh no, huh? Or oh my God, it's about time. Okay. I heard some amazing, visionary, grounded, centered speaking from our candidates yesterday. We have some people running for office right now who have a really strong vision as to what the Green Party can and will be. That got me so amazingly energized. So our strategy discussion is going to have three parts. We're going to talk about why it's needed, what can the Green Party achieve through having a more grounded strategy as a state and locally. What's been working, what hasn't been working in our locals that, and in our campaigns that we'd like to remind everybody to incorporate. We're going to write those down. And then we need to look at ourselves and our local groups in terms of meetable goals, both between now and the election and then also into 2011. And to see what our actual steps are going to be. What are we going to commit to do to get outside of our comfort zones so we don't find ourselves in the same situation that we always do, where we talk about ideas and then we go home and do the same old thing. So those will be the three parts of our discussion. Okay, and Kendra's ready with the report. Well, didn't we write down something here yesterday? Who remembers reporting on the county polling yesterday? Mike, do you want to present verbally? Okay.
Okay. Where are we at? The following statement. Okay. Oh, okay. All right, here we go. The following statewide propositions received support from the Green Party of California. Proposition 19 at 94.6%. Number 21, yeah, lights are going out on me already. Proposition 21, 86%. Proposition 24, 85.5%. And Proposition 25 at 85%. The following propositions were opposed by the Green Party of California. Proposition 23 at 94%. And 26 at 91%. The Green Party of California does not take a position on those propositions. Proposition 20, which received a 62% yes, but because the threshold is 80%, it is now, we take a no position. Proposition 22 only received 53% of a yes, and Proposition 27, a 69% no. And as I stated before, the threshold is 80%. Without that, California Green Party takes no position. Anything else? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And a big hand for Mike Feinstein for capturing the documentation that Kendra and I can't find.
Okay. All right, I see Michael Rubin's hand up.
Yeah, Michael Rubin, Alameda County. In terms of the strategy discussion, I'm quite concerned that we have some time spent on Proposition 14, what it means for the future of our party, what we need to do either in terms of a lawsuit against it or what we have to do if our lawsuit or other lawsuits fail and we have to live in a Proposition 14 environment.
And again, that's because we don't have people coming up from the counties to populate those communities. So those are the kind of things that I had in mind on issues that we need to look at. And really what I wanted to get out of this 1 hour session is a process that we can go through over the next couple of few state meetings to have some meaningful discussion and percolate up a real strategy session that gets us out into the future. And we also need to look at, I think, a short-term strategy session to see how we're going to sustain the Green Party through this recession. Because if you notice, our plenaries are half the size that they were before the fall of 2008. So we kind of need to look at what gets us through this period of time, and then hopefully we're going to come back up when the economy recovers. So that's, you know, that's just a few of my concerns on what we're going to do with this hour.
We've been through two steps back, but in the spirit of trying to integrate. Hang on here, guys. I need to understand if it's time to have a staff yet. Okay, what I'd like to do is to devote the next 15 minutes to hopes and fears regarding strategy. I think that's what you guys want to speak to, and that's how I want to frame it. What happens when we have good strategy? What happens if we don't develop good strategy? What are you worried about? What do you want to address? Let's do that for the next 15 minutes. Do we have a timekeeper? Would we like a timekeeper? Okay, can I have a volunteer for timekeeper, please? No, just for 15 minutes. Okay, Lisa, you have time. Thank you. All right, so I'd like us to start a 15-minute discussion on what you want to see in strategy, what needs to be addressed, and what are you afraid of, angry about regarding strategy.
Look, the agenda item says 2011 and beyond. People are just kind of throwing out frameworks for this. So I'm sorry if I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to share two things. One, Michael mentioned Prop 14, and there's a piece of information you all need to know. And then another positive suggestion. Public Citizen has offered to do the minor party, or the term independent party, lawsuit pro bono with their attorney. Now, what they want is they want a single, the parties themselves don't have the standing. It's people who want to run in 2012 that will have the legal standing for the case. What they want is a single candidate from each of the four parties, the Libertarians, no, not me, no, the Libertarians, the Greens, Peace and Freedom, and American Independence. And according to Richard Winger, and I think he's right on this, they want a congressional, somebody who's intending to run for Congress, rather than state assembly, and of course there's no constitutional option to give out as well, because federal law that governs the whole process is more defined, and there's more restrictions that Congress has put on for congressional races than state assembly, that Prop 14 potentially would violate. So the issue for us is, how can we identify somebody who wants to run for Congress in 2012 who, at a minimum, of course, we have to have one person, but we think, all things being equal, there's going to be four people who are going to become reasonably well-known because they're going to be the four people associated with the lawsuit. So we should be thinking about who is the most attractive congressional candidate we could be putting forward to the public. You know, all things being equal, we want all the diversity categories to be hit. We want somebody who is very politically sophisticated, et cetera. So we need to be thinking about that. The other thing I just wanted to share, the reason I brought this today, is that even though our state party doesn't have a lot of cash, OLAF is the bank, when in L.A. County, this is just a recent one, but when in L.A. County for the Democratic Convention in 2000 happened, we individually put in $5,000, printed 1,000 great T-shirts, pre-sold them to locals, got the money back, and had these great, great shirts in the streets when we marched there. It would be nice if our state party had a really cool shirt and a cool hooded sweatshirt and stuff, but I just want to throw out the idea that even if we don't budget for it, there'd probably be enough of us if we knew we could pre-sell them to raise a few $1,000, print something really good, union, organic, et cetera, and then have that for next year.
Okay.
They are here at Gillies Morris County, GEAPIRITILLI. A few years ago, I had a coworker who said she believed in the Green Party in every way, but she would not register Green. The reason she wouldn't register is she said, we had no financial plan. You know, what was wrong with us? We wouldn't take corporate money. We wouldn't take union money. She was okay with that, but she said we didn't have any financial plan. And how does any party get ahead without a financial plan? So I'd like to see it develop. Okay, I have tons of fundraising ideas I think we could do. And I was really kind of sad yesterday. I tried to sign up for the budget financing group, and I think two or three of us got together and said maybe we'd meet today. So I just don't see, I mean, it's great to say, oh, we have all the grassroots going behind us and all the volunteers. We don't have enough volunteers. People can't give up their full-time jobs to do nothing but volunteer for the Green Party unless they're lucky enough to be retired and financially comfortable. So that, I have tons of ideas to get us to raise money other than just going out and giving envelopes to people and saying stuff it with some cash. And I'd like to see us start implementing some of those ideas.
David Kuhlman, Orange County, KUELEN. I'm concerned, like everybody else, with the declining membership and declining
I think one of the things that we need to have in our strategy plan is what kinds of meetings we have, state meetings, what's in the composition of those meetings and what they're like. And mentioned yesterday the idea of having gatherings, which is where we have workshops about how to register people, how to run for office, you know, all sorts of things like that, as well as different issues. And talking with Deacon this morning on the telephone, he won't be here, but also including finding a balance of the in the state meetings of where we talk about infrastructure kinds of things like, you know, bylaws and platform and things like that, and as well as having some activist issue things like something about social justice every time where people can talk about that, having actions so that there are reasons for people to be inspired to not only be here for the weekend, but to also be here on Sunday, for example, those kinds of things. But the meetings need to be well worked out.
All right, excellent.
Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. The opportunity to make a really quick announcement. We didn't get a chance to get all of our clearinghouse stuff out. So if you need stuff today, we're here. My fear about a strategy session, I just heard four of the best people I know get up and give some great ideas, and there's another four probably right behind me. And all the ideas are good. I'd love to comment on every one of them. But my fear about a strategy session is how are we actually have a structure to actualize this. If we worked our structure, we have working groups to get these shirts out there, to get this fundraising done. But we're all going to get up here and talk, and then we're all going to go home. And the party's not going to actualize some of these things. So my fear is that we won't take advantage of an amazing amount of talent that's even in this very small populated room. I'd like to see, yeah, strategy up until the election. I'd also like to see a strategy that encompasses up to 2012, Prop 14, the national meeting that Craig and I were the group was talking about this morning. But I'd also like to see a 5- and 10-year strategy, because I do not think that the Obama administration, the one that's going to come after his, and certainly the one that came before his, has done anything for the country. So in this lull, of which we are really lull, Jim Stauffer mentioned barely active counties. I represent 32 of those, including my own. We have a tremendous opportunity over about a 5 or so year period. What I'd really like to see is these ideas jotted down carefully and come back to a meeting shortly after the election. There's still some political thoughts going on, and Obama's going to continue to do what that administration does, which is going to make a lot of progressives think. And whether it happens in Fresno, Ventura, or wherever we can get it, I think a gathering of sorts in January, yeah, I know it's a winter, that part of that gathering has to be a real strategy session, like 4 or 5 hours, not just these great people getting up here and pontificating, but actually find a plan to actualize how to get those shirts on a lot of people, how to get this big, that money, to actually do these things. Our party did it once. We just didn't carry it through. So that's my fear for a strategy session, is that we're all going to go home without any follow through, I guess would be the kindest way to say it.
Peggy Cochin, San Luis Obispo County. I'm pretty much agree with that fear. It feels like for 3 years, or that I recall, we've been talking about, we have to have a gathering, we have to like do things instead of just be talking heads and throwing out ideas. And all of us agree, but we're not having a gathering and doing something. And I understand the time commitment, we have such a huge state. But also my fear is it feels like there was a strategy session, not all of us together, but just like Larry Mullen had one in Fresno area with the CCs, and it just seems like some strategies were defined, but not actualized. So that seems like it's been done, and are we going to do the same thing over again? And secondly, someone brought up about, maybe David, that we need to have, you know, a statewide list of at least emails of being able to send to all the Greens that are registered. And I don't understand why that isn't done without even thinking about it. I mean, I know I go to my election office, I pick up a disc for free as long as it's 30 days before the election. Okay, maybe not free. It's like if it's under $26, our registration is so low in San Luis Obispo, it's free, I guess. But I think 30 is ahead of time. Anyway, it's going to be pretty reasonable, I would think, in your individual counties to collect a list. It just seems like, well, let's do it and get it to Laura Wells Committee or Greg Chan or whoever is the go-to person for that information. So, thank you.
Sandy Ciasny, Orange County Host Committee. I guess I'm going to be a typical middle-aged, white, cranky Green Party member, but I'll try to do it. try to do it in a way that 1 minute will be positive. I'd like to take public issue with 2 of the comments made by my esteemed colleagues, Mike Rubin and Jim Stauffer. Prop 14 was a big disappointment to this party, but let's not cry over spilt milk. Let's take the Green Party as it is today and start building it. The action is not in a state corpus, in a state organization, but it is within each council. Each part of California has a council, and it's our responsibility to field candidates, to recruit new members, and to fundraise. We certainly want a state organization, but the action is right here in the street. Jim's comment about the relative poverty of the Green Party, low numbers, low financing. What I saw here at this plenary was a wealth of good ideas and good actions and good intentions. I recommend that we simply take those home and implement them. Thank you.
For me, a goal for the California Green Party would be to double our membership within the next 2 years. And I believe it is possible to do it, because I just can't, it's really hard to understand how the Democrats and the Republicans could screw up more than they are at both a federal, state, and even a local level. I don't know about you, as I talk to people out in the community, people are really fed up. And increasingly people, I tell people I'm a Green. Start telling them what I believe in is, as they say, we're with you. We vote Green. We need to find a way to actually reach those people. In San Francisco, I'm trying to begin by contacting our membership. Not everybody. We don't have that kind of money to do it. So with the use of the voter registration rolls, contacting people who voted, for instance, in the last election. I know that they're there. If I send them a piece of mail, I'm not going to get it back. I haven't wasted my money. We've hired somebody on a very part-time basis, about 10 hours a week, to do phone calling. So instead of depending upon a volunteer to spend a lot of time doing this, they do the follow-up phone calls, and they're also calling our prior donors. We get responses from people like, I've been a Green forever, and nobody has ever contacted me. It's strengthening our base. Our part-time person, she is paying for herself because of the increased donations that are coming in. And we're identifying, and additionally, I have a canvas bag that has San Francisco Green Party little logo on it. And I'm asking people, you know, if you don't even give us a donation, at least send along a check for $10.43, because that is our cost for making the bag. We're getting people responding. They may not, I don't care if they give anything extra, but if they've written a check for $10.43, I know that they're there, they're paying attention, and they want to use a bag when they go grocery shopping that says San Francisco Green Party. This is fabulous. We can begin to pull them in to be more active. So this is one strategy that I'm trying to work with in San Francisco. It is beginning to work, and I'd love to see it I expand out throughout the state. We need to contact our members, get them more involved, and we will grow our party as more people. We need more people in this room. And this is a way of doing it. So, thank you.
All right. Well, what Barry's done is he's already taken us to the second part of this discussion, where we discuss things that we are doing. Don't worry, he's just part of this. Okay. What we're discussing now, if tell me if yours fits in. What are we doing? What do we want to do that is already working? Barry's already talking about the things that he's implementing with his local. What you're going to hear and what you've been hearing yesterday are things that you want to go home and do. As you're making that list, we're going to be going through in the next step and choosing your actionable steps, what you're actually going to do. Everybody hates this idea, but the people who are coming up to talk about what they're doing and what they have done that's worked. Kendra, is that what topic you want to speak to? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just basically want to affirm the idea that there's not lack of ideas, but the follow through. And that's what we really need to commit to. So what I would like to see come out of today is actual commitments. I will do X, Y, and Z when I go back to my local, and I will report back next time on the results of that. That's what I'd like to see. Yeah, when I began the campaign to collect signatures in lieu of the filing fee, I walked for 6 hours. It's pretty extreme, but I did it, and I knocked on doors of Green Party people, left them campaign information. That was a great grassroots way to connect people, to meet with them, because many of them hadn't met a Green Party candidate. I even knocked on doors and found Democrats and Republicans that had never met a Green Party candidate because the voter rolls were outdated. And they said, after a 30-minute conversation with this one lady, I've never met a Green Party candidate, and now I see what you're about. So it pays off, but we have to do it. And I have to just make a little reference to what Barry said. Barry didn't just think about the idea. He started to execute. So we have to get out of the mindset, and we keep repeating this so you can hear it three times in the consciousness, and then it works. Do something. Take the effort to get out on the streets. Just wearing shirts that say Green Party, you're promoting it. Carry something about the Green Party with you that you can hand out. You know, plaster all of your vehicles. I mean, you're constantly promoting the Green Party. This is the way we market, grassroots. Try to be at farmers markets. Try to be at events. You don't have to sit down in terms of tabling. Tabling is mobile, too. Public spaces, we all want to keep the privatization of public space, right? We want to stop that because we're out of balance. We're losing our public spaces. But as Green Party people, we can roll through farmers markets even if they say you can't be there, because you can go on the corners. You have a First Amendment right to do it. You can roll through and hand out literature. As long as you're moving, you're not impeding traffic, and you have a way to get the message out. I also want to just throw in something really quick. I think we have to do balance, too. I think we have to address Prop 14 as well. And after I'm elected State Assembly and I show what I can do with your help and with everyone's help, I will consider running for Congress and become President of the United States one day if that's what the party wants and everyone else. So I put myself out there. Okay, I see it's at 10:37 now. I'd like to give the next 7 or 8 minutes. So, Lisa, since could you still be our timekeeper? Still have it? Okay. So let's give 8 minutes to continuing this thing. I want to hear things you have done, things people ought to try, things that you wanted to try but never got around to. We're going to do this for 8 minutes, whether you like it or not.
Hi, I'm Dawn Brocious from Riverside County. Okay. So I could use any ideas people have. We're in a highly conservative county. But a couple of things we're doing, we're calling people and organizing meetings. The other thing I want to do is weekly sit at the mall and register people. I was trained as a Democrat, but if anybody has any ideas about the best way to do that, you know, to sit there with the registration form. I was really good at getting people to register, so if anybody knows any of the particulars involved in that, please let me know. Thank you.
Jim Stalker, Santa Clara County. This is kind of an example of the kind of strategy sessions we've had in the past that really didn't go too far. We can collect a list of things that work in everybody's counties, and you might get one or two ideas that could, you know, maybe work in your counties, but the thing is all the counties are different. And what works really well in one county is a total disaster in another county. And that's one of the things we really have to look at, as how what the Green Party consists of. We are not monolithic. We have different needs. We have some extremely liberal areas. We have Green Parties in some extremely conservative areas. The same tactics don't work there. Again, I would really like to see us form some type of structure where we can have a continuing development of a long-term strategy for the party, not just a quick list of what worked in my county this year.
Eugene Hernandez, Los Angeles County. What I would like to see is accountability. I would like to see that at each plenary or statewide conference, that each county deliver a list of how much voters they registered between this plenary and the next. I would like to see it broken down even further by the candidates, by Laura, Jack, Lisa Green, how many personal voters did you register? And further broken down by the individual members, even if you're from a small county, how many people did you register green? Because those are the indications of how strong we're going to be statewide. If we don't register people statewide green, we're going to lose our status. And that's going to be a bigger disaster than even 14. What I've been doing since January is approaching the junior college where I live next to and going to the classes of political science, Chicano studies, sociology, asking the professors for 5-10 minutes, and I speak to them. And I did so good in the initial January session that the political science department changed their whole policy because, you know, it was so many students were wanting to get involved in the Green Party that the professors freaked out and said it was disruptive, so they had to change the whole policy. So now I can't register them in class. I can't even pass out the literature in class. I just have to give them the spiel and tell them, well, what I do is we have a free speech area in the quad where I could set up a table and register them. But I'm doing it again this semester. I went to all the political science professors. I got it all straightened out. And I just can, in the other professors are more friendly with me and I know them personally, so they let me pass out the papers.
Okay.
But in the political science. Wait, I'm not finished. How come I'm the only one who hasn't spoken all weekend long and you're cutting me out? Oh, okay. Jesus. I thought I was already being cut off. The second thing I've been doing is in Sylmar, where I'm from, San Fernando Valley is the Tia Chucha. It's a bookstore, open space, art space, coffee shop. They have an open mic. And it's attended by between 10 and 50 people because they have musical groups that come in. It's all free. It's very good entertainment. And I always make sure to make a public announcement on behalf of the Green Party at that every Friday night about whatever we're doing. Now, what we've been doing in the San Fernando Valley chapter has been harassing our congressman, Brad Sherman, and also Howard Berman, who are the two most Zionist members of the congressional bracket, you know. One of them, Brad Sherman, wants to turn all the people who gave support to the Gaza and list them as terrorists and put them in jail in Guantanamo. And Howard Berman said, his aide said, that he was elected to represent Israel and he's always going to make war his priority. So those are the people who represent us. And also, what I'm planning to do this coming November is all these politicians and Congressman Berman sponsor with our taxpayer money and neighborhood council money a Veterans Day. So the Greens, the San Fernando Valley Greens and a group we're aligned with, the San Fernando Valley Socialist Alliance and possibly the PDA, we're going to have a counter-militarism booth there with counter-militarism and also to anti-militarism. Okay, thank you.
That was very inspiring. It really reminds us to work where we are.
Michael Boris here, El Dorado County. Eugene? I think I have a congressman that's worse than your congressman. And I'll pit my worst congressman against Tom McClintock. Against your worst congressman, we could have a contest sometime. But one thing Eugene said, I thought, regardless of what you think about this strategy session and where we're going, having a presence, I really feel that building county locals and sub-county locals is very important. You're going to have a state party. You need 58. That's how many counties are in California. 58 county parties. The most we've ever had is 38, of which about only 30 were what we call active. And here at the plenary. Plenaries used to be 85 delegates. Now we've got, what, 17 in the room? So having that present, you don't have to be a Green Party. You have a group at a junior college, a group at a bookstore that meets once a month. I'm a proponent of starting green clubs in places like Del Norte, Imperial, Modoc, Inyo County, and actually So you can have that present. Those of you that are in organized counties or semi-organized counties like mine, you know, keep having those get-togethers, because I think that keeps our presence there. And from there, we do need to develop a more concise strategy to tie that all together over a longer period of time in between here and the next planning meeting.
Craig Thorson, Los Angeles County. Just as a point of information, there have been 11 counties that have increased in voter registration since the March General Assembly. The highest number of increased voter registration was in Los Angeles County, 356. And I think that woman there is partially to blame for that increase. So, makes me bad, Lisa. Bad, Lisa. Second was 71 in Orange County. Third was in Ventura County, 59. And fourth was Placer County with 39. But they have a very small voter registration, so 39 is a high percentage. So compared with most of the other counties that have an insignificant change of 3 or 7 win or loss, those were sizable, particularly in Los Angeles County. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, so who is completely content with the amount of activity in their local? Okay, who knows that they could do a little better? And who knows that they personally could do a little better? Okay, we're going to take a time to gather with the people either in our local or in our region, depending on how populated you are. We're going to write down, well, I'd like to say 3 goals that you personally are going to implement in the next month and a half. Then we'll talk about we'll also work on getting together the gathering for January, which there's been a lot of buzz about. Ventura County's happy to host it. Maybe your county would be happier to host it. It's not that hard for us to do. It's really fun. It's really easy. We can do it. But I bet that if there's another county who would rather host a teach-in, or what do you guys call it? I'm sorry.
Gathering.
It's kind of a generic term. That's good. Well, it is kind of a right. Some of it's a teach-in, a share-in, a play-in, music, you know, and planning. A gathering. I know we really like them. Okay, so we have got now 14 more minutes to go ahead and get in your affinity groups, the people who you do most of your working and playing with. Give yourselves 3 goals, and then you're going to hold each other responsible. Peggy's kind of in our affinity group, or you can meet with GPUS if you want. Okay, I'd like to get us back to focus as a group. So if you can wind up your discussions and face the front again. We have 2 things to discuss right now. That is, I want to hear if anything new came up for your group in terms of plans that you are committing to do something different or to reinforce what you're already doing. Okay, thank you. All right. No, we're not starting yet. I'm just getting us ready. Also, it sounds like we want to put into more solidity the next way that we're going to gather. We need to talk about the next plenary gathering as well as the next gathering. Okay, so we're waiting for a dozen people from Orange County. Did anybody talk about anything in their groups that they think the group at large would benefit from right now? I'm taking a stack. Okay, go ahead. Let's go ahead, guys. Oh, you want to take a drink? Oh, yeah, let's drink. It's going to take them a couple minutes. Well, you know, we've got a few people to come into the room if we want to really share with the group.
With
the group?
You
going to
start now?
Well, only when the group's here. So, let's go ahead and get them in.
Okay, we're going to take just a few minutes now to make a set in order to report. So grab yourself a snack, find your chair again. Okay, so the subject of this next... The subject of this next 7 minutes is commitment. I want to hear about the verifiable, committed, outside of your normal comfort zone activities that you have agreed together to create. I want to find out how your process went as well. So if you were, if you'd like to come from your discussion group, and stack here, you're totally welcome to at this time.
Hi, Greg Chan, Alameda County. We talk about a lot of things, but one thing that we thought might be interesting is that because there's 80 members in the State Assembly, it might be interesting to try to get a majority of those where we have green candidates, 41 out of 80, and therefore, in theory, we could take over the state legislature in the next round. So we figure that it's probably more likely in places like the Bay Area that we're going to have more Greens involved in this. So we're going to try to have, in the Bay Area, run for two-thirds of the assembly seats in the Bay Area, and then hopefully by that statewide we'll have 41 out of 80, and we'll be able to take over the state legislature.
Richard Gomez, Fresno County. Fresno, it's Larry. We're talking about just getting a small gathering together post-election, pre-Turkey Day, or pre-Christmas in the next few weeks. We've already have a place which is bringing some people together. So the first thing to do is say hello, get people together, share cookie recipes or crocheting methods or whatever. The idea is get them together, we'll talk, and then we'll work on getting to do one thing at a time. And of course, where's Laura? Oh, there she is. We're going to steal you. If we can't get you, we're just going to grab you and bring you down there.
In L.A. County, we decided we're going to have a big party when Prop 19 passes.
Very small announcement. An earring was lost. Pierced ears.
Wait, what color is it? Black. Oh, like a...
Looks like a little tile here.
Where is it from? In here, I guess. I don't know. It belongs to the ladies that are dancing next door.
L.A. County. We talked about, we encourage other locals and counties to work on a shared database of information, email blasts, especially right now, to help Laura Wells with the exclusion of the debate. So we're going to do that immediately, get the disk for the voter registration, and help to, that's a great action item, get our Green Party energized to get Laura Wells included in the debate and elected governor of the state of California on November 2nd, 2010. We also talked about many ways to do outreach and improve outreach in addition to that one, which is fundraising, some joint messaging, working amongst the locals, and leveraging the county council. And I'll let Mike figure out, add some other points as well.
Now that I got that joke out of my system, the concern just wanted to float by all of you is when we talked about T-shirts, following up on that idea that the Canadian Greens living in a bilingual country have a bilingual, their logo and their shirts are bilingual. So the Green Party is Parti Vert for the Quebec. Okay, so just the concern I wanted to throw out there to everybody here is that they use a sunflower. Because we have a leafy G, if we had Green Party and Partido Verde, it's counterintuitive because the G doesn't work. You know, the Brazilian Greens are Partido Verde. They use a V. That's their emblem. So just want to throw that out that if, you know,
some of our people said, well, we should just go ahead and do it with the LEAD-BG anyway, or others said we should do it with a sun clause. But we never formally adopted the LEAD-BG, but it's informally been our logo for a long time. So how do we grapple with that question? If we wanted to have a bilingual shirt, do we go with the LEAD-BG or do we jettison it and go with the sunflower? And if that happened, you know, would the state party actually do that if we didn't use the LEAD-BG, or if a county did it? Is that you're serving the state party if it uses CA Greens, but then it's not using the LEAD-BG? So something to think about. And then who the hell makes that decision? Because we don't really have anybody to make that decision, this party, because we don't have the structure for it.
Apologize really quick. I got so caught up in Prop 19 with my inhaling, I forgot to exhale. And mentioned fundraising. We talked about fundraising, various ways to fundraise. Obviously, T-shirts are a wonderful way. I can personally tell you my campaign works well because of the T-shirts that I put out. Organic material only, please. But also potlucks, events, gatherings at the local level as well as the state level.
This is one of her T-shirts.
Okay, so Ventura, Kendra Gonzalez, Ventura County, and why am I stating that I'm the note taker? I'm committed to calling our registrar's office and getting our free copy of our email database or voter database before November. So that's a step, because the one I have is getting outdated. And then Adrian had an idea of doing a Green Party mixer locally and calling some of our progressive friends or Greens who just kind of never show up and go, come to this event, bring a non-Green. So like, bring someone with you. That's the goal of this. And register some people that way. Additionally, we have Dwayne Roberts, who's running for Senate, coming through Ventura. And so we're like, well, what an ideal way to do something on a weekday, but maybe we can, you know, get some people together at that time. And then we've got David Cobb coming to Ventura County already in October on his move to amend efforts. So we do have a lot going on, but those are three commitments anyway.
Our little enclave, which Richard already elucidated on, maybe a little different than some of your Western California counties. What we're committing to do is get a coffee clatch, a group, any type of meeting together in many of the small counties to start the little organization. I'm not worried about making active locals right now. But if you want 58, if you want all of the, what was your number for state assembly? You are going to have some type of organization, even if it's three or four people, to acquire the database, run that one little table at the county's farmers market in Quincy and Plymouth County, these small counties. So what we're committed to do is try to reconvene a group in each county. Mike, there's a way to integrate the LEAD-BG with the sunflower. I don't think we should get away from the sunflower. It is international. And this shirt was a way to do that. I believe the state party needs to, and sort of a bailiwick of mine that I've fallen short of, the state party's clearinghouse, which we do have some money, needs to design a couple pieces of hats, shirts. People love that stuff. And then what we really could use to help, and I know you all got so many tasks when you go home, is with clearinghouse materials, green focus materials, is to set up a group, maybe a subsidiary of a finance committee that actually bills and collects the money so that these projects are sustainable. Collecting money from greens is really hard to do, but we actually are funded for some outreach projects. I suggest you go to your locals and find out, huh?
How much money is that?
I I guess they want an answer. We got $2,000. The $2,000 for clearinghouse, the idea, like Green Focus, what we just spent, $1,700. I really got to hand it to Chris for putting out this paper from his sick dad. So he's not here today. It's the first winter he's missed in a long time. You really need to pay for the stuff from the state and donate back to the state so it's sustainable. I think getting databases from the counties, there's a way to do it. It's not too hard. Your ROVs, your Department of Elections, is going to be really busy the 30 days before the election when you can get a free database. We make a mistake of going in and going, we're the Greens, we want the database. And they go, we're too busy. But there's ways to get databases from, in other ways. Every county should have a database. If you find someone with an old database from your county, totally valuable. You compare who was a Green from a year ago to now, and you call them. What group's supposed to initiate these programs and work on them? Part of that's GROW. But any of the groups can do it. Kendra and Bert Hoyer and myself campaign for candidates, Green Issues, and GROW. We'd like to do that, but we could use some people on phone conferences and at meetings so that we can actually build this effort into 2011. So we actually have something real viable for 2012. Regardless of Proposition 14, which I must remind you, if it stays, and Mike Feinstein was talking about how it's about 50-50 whether it goes out before 2012 and about 50-50 whether it goes out after it. But if it stays for 2012, the whole election cycle is moved up by 1 year. So by this time next year, in fact, even earlier in the summer, you need to start running for 2012. And you'll need those databases and a t-shirt to show who you are.
Eugene Hernandez, LA County. I think one thing we're missing that's very important and is very inexpensive, and that is prior to the debate and throughout the campaign, each one of the chapters, as a matter of fact, each individual should be writing a letter to their local newspaper saying, why isn't Laurel being included in the debate? And whether you're assigned it within your chapter for one specific person to do it, or you do it individually. Recently, I had a letter printed in the Daily News of Los Angeles regarding the assembly race of Felipe Fuentes. But it's something that we must constantly barrage the newspaper, because all they hear is the right-wing Tea Party people who write. You look at the editorial page, it's never any leftist point of view. And I think we're missing this opportunity. And also, to write to the media, to the local news stations. They love to carry information news about Dancing for the Stars, but I've seen only one in L.A. that's covered the debates. And we must write to the news director saying, why is this being blocked out of the viewership, and it costs nothing. Again, there's a person named Professional Secretary who, if you give him permission, he'll write letters to any elected official on almost any cause. And I think it wouldn't be bad for us to enable that on our website, to have already a printed letter, and just someone just checks the button, and that's automatically sent out. So that's just an idea. Thank you.
Eugene just brought up the October 12th, and so that's the debate that's in Sanderfeld. It's just north of San Francisco that they're calling the Green Debate, and they forgot the green. And I'm starting to really visualize that. I love the energy that like Deacon was putting out, and other people have put out too, of having just so many people. It's like the Green governor and a few of her friends are there. And so everybody is invited, and we will find some place. You know, you may have to bring your sleeping bag, but we will find some place to put you up. I'm sure of that. And the thing about the t-shirts, this is a detail, but the thing that I keep imagining is that they're going to have a lottery so that some people can actually be in the debate. Whereas often what happens is that you don't even have a chance of getting in, but they do have that lottery where some people are going to get in. And so what we're going to try to do, or one thought that I have, is that everybody goes in sort of, you know, regular looking, straight looking, and with jackets and stuff like that. And but they have underneath it not just a t-shirt, but a green t-shirt, green, green, green. And then maybe some of those little flags, you know, that are tucked in, and then at some point, you know, waving the vote green, vote teal. So it's green, 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 green. This is the green debate. And then outside the gate, where a whole lot more of us will be, that there's a sea of green. Hold up that jacket behind you.
That's pretty green.
Yes, I mean that is like really green. And I did go to the Moraga St. Mary's Senate debate. I was outside the gate where Barbara Boxer and Carly Fiorina were, quote, debating. Then and they had, like, SEIU was there with his purple t-shirts, and CNA, the nurses, were there. And so some unions were there, a whole bunch of Tea Partiers were there, and stuff like that. And there were a bunch of Peace and Freedom and a few of us green. But if there were a sea of greens, it's such good TV. I just think it would be such great TV that it's the Green Party. It's so obviously the Green Party at the green debate, not there, and stuff like that. So I really think that this is one of the ways that we can kick start our other strategies and energize us and stuff like that. Because when the Greens are left out, as we all know, that means California is left out. That means California is shut out of the room. It's not just the Greens. So thank you. In Berkeley, they now call what used to be the Columbus Day the Indigenous Peoples Day. In Venezuela, they go even one further. It's called El Día de la Resistencia Indígena, which means the Day of the Indigenous Peoples Resistance.
What time during the day?
I'll make it easier. October 12th is my birthday, so just remember that.
Planning on going bilingual too, English, Norwegian. On the way here today, I was listening to the public radio on Wait, Don't Tell Me. One of the questions was, Steve Mays has found a new source of candidates. This went out on the public airwaves all across the nation. What is the answer? Homeless people. That's the new candidates for our government. And then they made comment about green. What does it take to be a Green Party person? And I think it was something on, if you can eat beans out of a can, you can be a Green Party candidate. We need to have an organized statewide people paying attention to the media and alerting those of us who like to write letters to the editor so that we're aware of an article. I don't read the Sacramento Bee. I cannot comment about an article in the Sacramento Bee because I don't read it. So somebody who does can email, if we have a media or a committee on this, then I can respond. So that might be something that we could do statewide or locally.
Hi, I'm Pat LaMarche from the East Coast. I'm gonna own that whole original 13 horrible colonies where we started the whole October 12th thing. Huh? It's just you go out Route 5, and first of all, Wait, Don't Tell Me was referring, I'm sure you all know, to the New York Times article last week that discussed the fact that some Republican dude, right, was registering street people. And there was a rather heated discussion, I don't know if any of you took part in it, on Facebook about this. And I, of course, chimed in as about the 700th person with listening to Greens, who I know are not classist. I know they're not. But they sounded classist about how dare they, how dare the Republicans do this. First of all, it was only a couple of Republicans, maybe one. We will never build a party by attacking people for what they think they are today. So some Republicans do that. The Republicans who are actually decent people and really are Greens need to come to us because their leadership is a bunch of dicks, right? Okay, so what we need to do is, and the same thing with good Democrats, they need to come to us, but their leadership is the same. But I think we need a pushback on the New York Times to say not only would we be honored to have Green candidates from the streets, we would be honored to be represented by them, because we need the people from the street to have a voice. But that's not the reason I got up. I got up because of what someone said about the percentage calling, having people make calls and take a percentage of fundraising calls. We have a lot of candidates in Maine, which is a part of the East Coast, actually. Not one of the original 13. Oh, God, I wish we were part of Canada. Please, how terrible. Who shot? What we did was we actually got 10 volunteers to give us a week. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but to get 10 people to give you a week of every evening. And what we did was we went through those voter lists you people have after election, like maybe like the following February, and we didn't ask them for money. We asked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Greens if they would consider running for office. Total strangers who had never been to a meeting, which is always a good idea because these meetings turn people off. We had all kinds of people who hadn't thought of themselves as a Green Party activist ask them if they would consider themselves a Green Party candidate. And that's where we get so many candidates to run, from these random phone calls. And then once someone voices an interest, they don't have to say, yes, I'll run. They just voice an interest. We follow back up. Now, this year in Maine, I'm not sure of the exact number because I don't live there anymore, there are like 28 legislative candidates. When I ran for governor in 2006, we had 24 legislative candidates. That's a lot of people running for office. In the city of Portland, there is no elected Republican. There are only Greens and Democrats elected in the city at every level, all the way up to Congress. U.S. Congress is a Democrat. That's an argument that you can use. When the Green Party is successful and wins an election or comes in second, it's the Republican that loses. It's not the Dem. Republicans, really rational, sane Republicans, realize they don't have a political party anymore, and they become Greens. And it's really important that they, I mean, Republicans, the original Republicans, aren't people who want to know what's going on in your bedroom. They aren't people who want to invade your privacy. And the fact that they've been co-opted by this crazy religious whatever it is turns a lot of Republicans off, and we have a lot of success with that. So anyway, that would be the only thing I would recommend, is to start
talking to Greens who self-identify as Green and asking them if they want to be candidates instead of waiting for people to come to a meeting to find out if they want to be a candidate.
Might be a little bit off topic, but I think it's important. Been doing a lot of outreach to locals for county polling, to update or contact information, that sort of thing. And I'm hearing out there and in here, you know, that there's this disconnect between state party inner admin stuff and local work. And we Greens just question authority no matter what. It's intrinsic to us, but I'm really hoping we can start coming together more, and someone said, well, we should have a media committee. Well, we do. You know, and it's sparsely populated. Well, we, you know, should have this kind of committee and that kind of committee. We have that. And what would be great is if more Greens that we have not been talking with would start showing up and joining the phone calls and start strategizing with us continually, because that's what we're doing. So just as an inner cabal, you know, state party organizer person, you know, sometimes it's offensive, you know, and it's just a matter of those who are volunteering to show up and do some work, and then people who are not doing that work going, you're doing it wrong. I invite you to come in and help us do it right then, you know, so I would love to hear less of kind of, you know, power plays and power tripping and egos. It's not about that. It's about organizing at a state level. You know, we can only do so much, and we need help, and we need locals. We want locals. We want a huge, broad voice within our inner party, you know, administrative body. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you.
As a member of the media committee, I actually want to say that we are fully populated in that the media committee is an 8-member committee by definition of bylaws, and the coordinating committee has come through and appointed all 8. As some of you know, Chris Bellucci has had 2 strokes in the last year and a half. He's our press secretary, and he has continued to produce at a pretty high level given what he's been through. However, other people on the media committee have stepped up to try and draft other releases so that it isn't all on Chris's shoulder. And number one, any locals who want us to issue releases should be both sending the ideas and should be sending a little more substance, you know, some draft of a release. But the other thing I want to say is that we have spokespeople, but there are more names on a press release than what you'd really want in terms of. We would be best served, in my mind, by spokespeople that when the media is sitting around and something is happening, they know who the person is in their head, they've talked to them directly on the phone, and they think of picking up the phone and calling the spokesperson and say, what does your party think about this and that? And now you kind of have to go through a whole big to-do of going to our website, finding who our media committee people are. So we are going to resolve this today, but other parties have co-chairs, other parties have designated spokespeople that are aggressive and full-time doing this, and I think our party obviously would benefit in a million ways by full-time volunteers doing a lot of different things, but if we had 2 people, a woman and a man, who simply were doing this full-time, who were picking up and cold-calling press around the state and saying, I'm the spokesperson, and, you know, this, this, and this, and making an identity for themselves and traveling around the state, I think our media coverage would go up enormously because the D's and the R's are boring, but we're just really pretty invisible, even though we're doing everything our rules say we should be regarding the media.
Mike brings up a good point, and that is we actually do have committees out there that are function. Media, of which there's no members, well, there are a few folks here from media, but and we are getting press releases out. What we do need is, and go back to your locals, you know, there's people in your locals that aren't here today. We do some useful things. We actually had a seminar at the 2002 gathering on what makes a meeting good enough that the people, after coming to a Green meeting, will come back to another one. But I do want to point out, if you come to some of the state groups and maybe initiate some of these groups within your county, I'm going to compliment Kendra. Ventura County and the database. Kendra made 900 phone calls all by herself. Okay, what did that, and anybody can do this. You can go home right now and do that. I can go home and start calling the people in my county. And that phone contact, it's a grow project. It has to, it failed a little bit because we made some mistakes, but we're learning. The idea was to send out a letter to your frequent voters, then phone bank, inviting them all to a meeting, a potluck, maybe a speaker, and as an afterthought, you'll get the organization, you'll get the money from them and those other things. You know, look at the stats. Every 100 people you talk to, only 4 will donate if you're lucky, and you'll only get 2 to join your county council or become an activist. But from the Grow Kendra effort, I really have to, we now have taken about 15, well, we've taken a 3,000-person database from Ventura County, and we know who's home now. And that any of us can go home and do without any further organization and strategy. You can do it in your area, in my area. We can do it.
I would just like to comment on what Patty said about recruiting candidates. I think there's a drawback to that. We saw that during the presidential campaign when they picked a guy who was straight out of the crowd, and they started to promote him to be a candidate, and he turned out to be a total asshole. And I'm talking about Joe the plumber. You know, I think we, you know, people who are running a candidate know how much sophistication, people skills, speaking skills, writing skills you need to become a candidate. And I think there are many green activists who have many skills, but to formulate those skills, you have to be very selective. But I think one of the things the Green Party misses out on is to take note and to comment on specific issues. Say, we want to recruit Latinos. Well, you know, we don't have a policy on immigration, right? And there's not going to be an immigration bill till after Obama supposedly runs for election 2012. But the problem still exists, and I'll give you 2 examples. In Arizona, the fascism that's gone there, we have not commented on it. You know, Arizona is a state that has fascist roots going back to the 1900s when they crushed the mine workers' strike. Chief Justice Rehnquist made his bones by challenging Chicano voters in 1960. You know, of course, the Martin Luther King debacle, and now, but we don't see any Greens take a position on that. We don't see Greens take a position on education, probably because most of the people here don't have children going to school. But in the LA Unified School District, they're laying off teachers, they're cutting back classes, they're not teaching the true history, they're going by leave no child behind. But we don't take a stand on those issues that the masses of the people are enduring. Like right now, there's been 4 or 5 days of riots because the LAPD killed an undocumented Guatemalan immigrant. And that's unprecedented for people who are undocumented, who are being hunted by the Homeland Security, to come out in the street and confront the most fascist police force in America, the LAPD. And yet, we Greens don't even, we just ignore it. It's just a blip. But, say if it's BP, we're all upset, and oh my God, or say it's Rwanda, we say, oh my God, they're killing the people of Rwanda. But what about here in LA? No one cares because he's undocumented. He's not going to vote for Greens, so why even comment?
I think we need to work on ways to synergize. I think that is happening. The interconnectedness is there. We know this as a Green Party person and participant. It's about bringing awareness. I actually, just to point out some things, have a LA Indy Media article where I captured LAPD violating the Jones Act, criminalizing the homeless. I'm not pitting LAPD against the street people. We're trying to inform them and hand them the documents so that they're aware of where they may be violating civil liberties so they don't go to trial at a civil level, shifting the paradigm. I do think we're actually doing a lot of things at the local level because we are grassroots. We're just not sharing information as well as we should be, and that's where we can work on it. So we know there's committees. You now know that they're there. We'll keep reminding each other. Those committees won't always stay the way they are because we're transforming them. They're rebirthing and progressing. Participation is important. Sharing this helps us. So I think the more we identify our successes and our challenges, pick the words you want. This is how we grow the party, to grow the information, create synergy, and heal each other and, you know, move forward.
Okay, I want to thank everybody for participating in this discussion. I do see a lot more big picture things and not as many little picture step-by-step commitments that I was hoping for. But if you haven't made at least one action step to yourself, something that you don't already normally do, go ahead and mentally do that on your way home today and just hold each other accountable. Whoever you're talking with in the car, just say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I just want to see everyone get out of their comfort zone, and then we'll have the big picture strategizing session in January. Is that satisfactory? Does anybody care? Is anybody here? Okay, I just want you to ask yourself, do you believe in the Green Party? Okay. And it's not the people in this room necessarily who have to do something different, but we are the levers. We're the ones who apply the leverage to synergize, as Lisa said, the chain reaction that we want to see.
It's almost lunchtime. Craig Thorson, Los Angeles County. She was talking about commitment. So most of you know that I've made very little commitment to California in the last 4 years. I've shown up at plenaries, but because of internal debate, is that a polite way to say it? I have stayed away from commitments to California. In the last 3 months, I've spent 2 weeks in Arkansas walking the streets of Little Rock doing ballot access petitioning. I spent 1 week in Detroit registering people for the U.S. Social Forum. I spent 6 weeks in West Virginia working on a Senate campaign. I spent 9 days in Minnesota talking to people walking through the Minnesota State Fair. I haven't done anything in California for 4 years. I was on the LA County Council for a year and a half. I will commit to 10 hours per week for 4 weeks of phoning in different places in California, provided I am not in the process of moving and I get phone numbers from the county chairs or the coordinating committee or some such, so I know who to call. And I will call for donations, for events, asking people if they're willing to run for office in the future.
Do I hear another one? Do I hear another personal commitment? Excellent. That was beautiful. I want to remind you that this room is full of the heavy lifters, absolutely. And so I'm sorry if we've been getting down on ourselves, but this is where it begins. If we can just do one extra little thing, get it rolling. I'm so excited about our candidates. I love visualizing Laura Wells as a governor, and I'm just psyched to be here. So thank you, guys. What do you do?
I absolutely commit to do the job that I was elected to do as a regional rep. I'm going to take this election season and revitalize, with the help of Chris and a great crew in Sacramento, and revitalize that local. It should be the biggest local in our state, the most important local being the capital. I'm going to call those locals in my area that have fallen off: Calaveras, Plumas, Shasta, Placer, Yolo, and Richard and I are committing to look at Merced and some of the counties down there. We are going to, by spring, this election is a catalyst, you know, I promise to revitalize those locals, at least get people meeting again and see if they want to become a member of this structure, and I'm
forgetting a few other counties, but we have some beautiful potential, and I'm going to call and visit, as I used to, those counties. I've squared away some time, and I can do that now. So that's my commitment, is to put those locals back on our map, and maybe, hopefully, they'll be sitting in the next gathering or plenary.
Okay, I don't know if it's technically lunchtime, if we have any host committee or housekeeping notes. All right. You mean schedule next meeting or breakout session number two? Okay, so do we want to nail it down? Are we talking about plenaries? Are we talking about gatherings? Or are we talking about nailing down a weekend?
Okay, well, I would recommend that we concentrate mostly on establishing the gathering, but let's also at least bring up the idea of having scheduled plenaries and try to get people to think about hosting all three meetings that we need.
Okay, sounds good. So what month would we be looking for the if we have a winter gathering in January, when are we looking at a spring plenary? What's that?
Yeah, well, traditionally, Jim, you want to help me with this one? Traditionally, we have a spring plenary on and about May or April, where we actually have the most state business to do. It's where all of our groups are budgeted. I would suggest we start to think very heartily about who would like to host an after-election gathering, because I hear everybody in the party wants one of these. That would be January-ish. We need a spring plenary, April-May-ish. Also need some folks to step forward and help work organize these. They're not that easy to organize. And then we need a fall plenary, of which date would be indeterminate. We're not tied to wiggling around the election cycle this time. But we actually need hosts. Now, we've been in, we were San Jose last time, we're Southern California this time. There's murmurings from Ventura and Fresno about hosting one of these things that's sort of mid-state. You know, there's a great group in Marin. So we need to start thinking about, you know, actually approaching the county councils and saying, you know, hey, Contra Costa, can you do it? Sacramento? I mean, and try to get those groups back in. You want to have them, please?
Okay, so, well, I guess I'd like to, I mean, this is a formal General Assembly with voting delegates. Just for confirmation, how many people are in favor of a winter gathering in January? Okay, great. Are there any people who are absolutely opposed to something like that? Okay, good. The one thing I want to stress is what we've found over the years from organizing these things and putting them on, that attendance is highly dependent on location. And so the gathering, which is going to be a big strategy session, training session, stuff like that, something we really want the best attendance we can get. We really need something mid-state. We need something easily accessible by the freeways. That's why we have, that's why we keep throwing out Fresno. And, yeah, how about that? Where's Lower Tulare? That's near the freeway. Right. We're living in January. But, okay, can...
Basically, you just say how many bodies can you get there to help plan. And
Okay, that's great. That's what I was going to say. We need to follow. And it's the coordinating committee who's sort of in charge of these things, so coordinating committee folks will be in touch. Or you be in touch with them. Anyway, that's the connection. So, in general, since we've got how does Fresno sound to people as far as the location? Yes.
Can we ask whether on before, during, or after the Martin Luther King weekend? Do you have an opinion about that?
Yeah, that's a good one. When, for planning purposes, would probably want to go like late January then. No. Well, the thing is, you're coming right out of a holiday. I mean, nobody wants to go anywhere the first week of January. It's for damn sure. The second week is the 12th, you know, so, and then you got to give them a couple weeks break. So I would say the ideal time we're looking at is, you know, late last week of January. And then for the plenary, let's not worry too much about April, start looking at May. That gives people enough of a break again before they have to get together in the state.
There are five Sundays in January, and they're all really significant. The January 2nd, everybody's invited to my birthday party, and I'm going to have it be, it's going to be in Oakland, California, and I'm going to have it be a combination building a people's movement and my birthday. And presents usually an inauguration party. Yes, I'll be getting ready. You know, I'll be getting staff, nobody from Goldman Sachs, and all that stuff. So I'll be really busy. But and then the next one is the 9th, and then the weekend after that is the 16th, which would be Martin Luther King's birthday weekend. The 4th one might be ideal, the 23rd. 22nd, 23rd, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, so just for thinking. And then if you get, I mean, there are some football fans that are greens, and so don't get into the first week of February, I think. Is that when the Super Bowl is, in February? Yeah, it can't be that day. So.
Okay, well. Yeah, okay, well, I mean, we need to keep certain dates in mind that we need to avoid. But typically what we have to do is give sort of a rough time frame to the potential host and see what they can come up with as far as availability of the venue. So we're pretty much settled, like the 4th week of January would be the earliest. And then on into February, early February, would probably, no, wouldn't be okay. Well, okay, that's our target, but we can't, if we're just going to say, well, that's the only week we're going to do it, then, boy, this slimmed our chances down. No, I would not. We've typically avoided Martin Luther King Day. Yeah.
What about January 8th and 9th?
Okay, well, again, January 8th and 9th. Okay, that's 1 week after New Year's holidays and, 4 days before we want everybody to go up to San Rafael. So that's not a good. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I just.
If we're eight or three or four times a year having 5 or 6 months between our meetings, we go to late January and then we get to May, and now we're looking at September next year. Three meetings a year?
Yeah, I'm aware of it. Well, didn't we just hear some dates that were objecting to this? And the schedule we're talking about is pretty typical of what we do. This is how we've been doing it. Our last state meeting was May. And here we are in, what the hell month is this?
September.
Yeah. So this is typical of what we do. So. Yeah.
There might be something coming up, but we're looking at the idea of the last weekend or the weekend before that. Sounds like a good idea for planning.
Yeah, that would be our ideal dates. Yeah.
Question, what's wrong with Martin Luther King Day? It seems like that would be ideal to me.
Well, because a lot of people have local events going on. It's very important to them, so they don't like to leave town, is what we found out. Okay, well, facilitators, there's a whole staff here.
All right, guys, why don't we just go ahead and stack until they tell us that lunch is ready.
Thank you, those counties that are looking at volunteering. I just want to caution everybody, in planning plenaries over the last 10 years, the one thing we've really got to look at is venues are very harder to find now. They're more expensive. So though the General Assembly gives a target date, it really is up to the county to the host volunteer to find that venue, and that's getting a little harder these days. So we need to help them and also give them a little slack, because they may get one weekend, and this plenary was actually adjusted in weeks, so we had a better venue that was reasonable in cost.
A couple comments. If we're going to do something in Fresno, I think we need to understand that this is going to be internal party insiders. I know that's redundant. I don't think it'll be a mass attended meeting, whereas in a major metropolitan area, if we had exciting speakers, et cetera. And maybe if this is simply going to be internal strategy, fine. And for the longer run, I think gathering should be held in bigger cities with big names, and we get a, I just think, average rank and file agreement will show up. So in terms of expectations, if this is meant to be internal, Fresno is fine. In terms of Martin Luther King weekend, I actually think it makes better sense to have it on a weekend like that, because a lot of times now we can't get people to stay on Sunday because everybody has to leave early on Sunday and start driving back somewhere because they have to be at work the next morning. If they have Monday off, they can get home later. They don't have to worry about being at work at 8 in the morning on Monday. And we get 2 full days out of people instead of only a half day on Sunday. So if we're going to actually get to some conclusions, I think we need 2 full days. Personally, I plan on being out of the country at the end of January, so I have a personal motivation against it. And I like, you know, what Craig was saying on the 8th and 9th, if we didn't do it MLK weekend. But I don't think we should rule it out for the reason I think Saturday and Sunday gives us much better attendance and more time to work. Let the people leave late on Sunday. They can do what they want on Monday.
We lost about 5 people today.
That's awesome.
Craig Thorson, Los Angeles County. I agree. I don't see any reason why Martin Luther King weekend should be eliminated. Having that Monday holiday gives people credit. I think having the 22nd weekend as their first choice, the Martin Luther King as their second choice, and January 8th, 9th as their third choice, or rotate the second and third choices or whatever is fine. I don't like the idea of getting real late in January and going into February, because January is dead. There's not a lot going on right after New Year's Day. Things start picking up in February, and then we start getting into lots of holidays. I don't see any reason why January 8th, 9th is not our ideal weekend. I think we should take a straw poll.
Okay. I personally like the 4th weekend. From an elemental standpoint, it ties into the Green Party. I caution, we can consider MLK weekend, but I don't see a lot of people that have of color in our party. So if we do MLK, I would like us to do an event with someone in Fresno, MLK base, at some point during the weekend. Because I think we have a great opportunity to bring more Latinos and more blacks into our party, and we certainly are deficit there, so I welcome that.
Richard Gomez from the, what was that county again? Oh yeah, Fresno. The days before and after, there are events scheduled for the Martin Luther King celebration. So there's going to be a lot of stuff. The problem, of course, is that the people are going to be busy, and on that weekend, even last second changes always happen. And so that'll keep them up till Sunday morning or Sunday night late. So they're going to be, a lot of people will be busy. I'm liking the idea of the second week, but of course, I need to check I need to find out. You know, there might be crazy events going on. You know, like Mike said, we don't want to have a plenary without him, right? That would be wrong. Ooh, I like that better. Mexico in January. Okay. Okay, so like I said, unless it's Mexico in January, I'll get back to you when I find out some more information.
Okay, well, so anyway, we're going to wait to hear back from Fresno County as to their availability of the dates. But I also want to make sure everybody is going back and thinking about two general assemblies in the May time frame, and then fall, September, October time frame. It's a non-election year, so we don't have to worry about, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but anyway, the fall time frame. So anyway, please, folks, talk to your local about hosting a state meeting, because that's becoming the biggest stumbling point, is finding a host for these things. Okay, that's all I have.
So Ventura County will host either a May or September plenary, depending where we're needed the most, or we can hope to do it.
Hi there. So, go ahead, Greg.
Can I have everyone's attention, please? Our Secretary of State candidate, Ann Menashe, has been invited by the California Channel to go up to Sacramento and do a taping to be on the TV. But she needs a place to stay overnight in Sacramento. So she's already been in touch with Kress Vellucci, and Kress hasn't been able to find anyone from the people he knows. So if you know anyone in Sacramento who might be able to host our Secretary of State candidate, Ann Menashe, it's going to be on either Monday or Tuesday, September 20th or 21st. And she really would like to know, tonight or tomorrow, any possibilities, because she wants to, make her plans. Check with me. All right, thanks.
One other announcement regarding upcoming plenaries and this stuff. 2011 is the off year. This is the year that we need to elect new party officers, which are the treasurer and the secretary and our liaison to the Secretary of State. The current folks we have in those offices have served two terms already, so we really need to recruit some replacements for them. And these are not just any old volunteer. You got to have somebody for treasurer. We need somebody with, ideally a CPA, or at least someone with some real strong business financial background and familiarity with campaign finance laws. Liaison to Secretary of State, again, somebody who has some background of dealing with government regulations and understanding stuff like that. Certainly someone with a pretty strong business background. So please, folks, please look around your county. Think of some folks who might be able to help out. The jobs are not incredibly labor intensive, but when something needs to be done, it needs to be done right now. It needs to be done on a schedule, so they have to be really reliable. Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Mike Salinas, Orange County. I'm only just new to the Green Party. And first I want to say thank you. First I want to say I appreciate that I've been allowed to join with you and make comments. I haven't been kept out only because I'm a Green Party member. I guess, and I hope I've said to a lot of people, everything I'm seeing, I'm agreeing with, and that's great because I'm kind of picky. But I do want to directly say my eyebrows just got raised when you seem to be talking about having this government, and it wasn't important that the people you're governing be here to see this government in action. And for me, one in particular, I see the great advantage of your party or my party, the Green Party. What if you had a government that was operating in front of the people you govern? What if everything you were doing was being done in front of those people, and you intended that, and you wanted that, and you wanted 100 people of your party who weren't governing people watching you create your government, our government? So when I saw you kind of go right by that thing of, well, we're insiders, we're doing the business of the governing. We're governing for those people, and I kind of go back to the Brown Act that says, I can't remember the exact wording, but when we elect people, we don't give up our right to government. They're only acting as our officers. So everything that should be done in California should be done before the people. So I guess what I'm really doing is making this really big pitch for all of you. Stop and consider, if you really want membership, as I just heard in these other groups and stuff, be fair and be equal and include the people who aren't you as the governing. That you are only an organ of what you're trying to develop. Don't forget the organism. You know, you're a lung, a heart, a brain, a foot, whatever. But you better be depending and paying attention to that organ that you're going to represent. Thank you.
I just wanted to address that, Mike, and being a newbie, kind of coming in, it's great to get that objective viewpoint from somebody. It's very important to hold us accountable. And I have to say, from my experience, the invitation is always there. We invite, we implore, sometimes we beg people to get involved. You know, and we only have certain mechanisms that we're able to broadcast and to do the invitation, phone calls and email. You know, we're limited on how much we can invite and take the time to invite, and we could probably be better at that, certainly. But the invitation is always there. So it's kind of like whoever shows up, that's the party. The people that show up and do the work. So I appreciate what you're saying. So it's not like we're the insiders and we run things and that's the way it is. We want to be better than that, and we invite people to come in. Let's all be the insiders, right? So that's, I just wanted to address that.
Okay, here we are again. Wait, Matt, did you have something you needed to say? Okay.
In preparation for lunch is done, I'll just remind everyone of what a teacher once told me. I don't know where this saying comes from. Decisions are made by those who show up.
That's right, the world is run by those who show up.
We need to actually come back together. We've got a lot to do. We supposedly have 1 hour left, total. It's on our agenda. We need to actually come back together. We've got a lot to do. We supposedly have 1 hour left, total. It's on our agenda. It's saying that we're actually breaking up. We're done by 2:15. Out of here.
So we can make up for some of that time if we can get together now and prepare for the breakout groups that we will be joining in. We might need to discuss which breakout groups need to meet, since we had to eliminate the first breakout session. Okay, so the first breakout session was
Committees and working groups. Oh, no, duh. Okay, green issues, electoral reform, IT and clearinghouse, who I know met during lunch, and media. Okay, so those were the ones that the breakout session was canceled. The ones we're supposed to have a breakout session now for campaigns and candidates, part two, bylaws and grow. So is there anyone from green issues, electoral reform, and media who want to split theirs? Go ahead, Dorothy? Your green issues. Is there anyone else who would... Okay, so if green issues and grow combine, that sounds pretty good. So electoral reform and media, neither of them are here, so we're okay. So it's really okay for us to have canceled that set of working groups, as far as we know. Okay. All right, so breakout sessions were supposed to start at 12:35, but we're going to start them at 1:10. If that's okay, I know there are a few people who should be here who are not. If you're friends with them and you can contact them by phone, maybe you should let them know. Or is everybody here? Okay, some people may have left for the day. Okay. I believe I was told that IT had met over lunch.
There was an informal meeting.
Okay, so you still want to have a clearinghouse meeting? Okay, clearinghouse is cool too? All right. All right, so what we have, campaigns and candidates, bylaws. Is that still on? No need for bylaws. So and grow. So campaigns and candidates and grow are the only two groups, along with green issues. Okay. So basically, though, we need to find two locations. Which is the larger group? Campaigns and candidates by far, right? Okay. So can grow and green issues go in the other room? Okay. Let's go ahead and allow this work. This is supposed to be a 70-minute working group. Is it okay if we take it down to 60? From it's even less than that. Okay, so we're at 10 after 1. We would be in our working groups until, let's make it a quarter after 2. Does that sound reasonable, or is that too much time?
You
come back here. Okay. Okay, good. And then the rest is housekeeping, so we're good to go. So let's go ahead and choose your group, and we'll meet back here at 2:15. Hi there, everyone. We're pulling into the home stretch. If we can have order for just one last time here. Everyone for attending this session and for contributing to such energized and meaningful discussion. Now let's take it all home to the people who we work with all the time, see what kind of magic we can make in our community. Then we'll report back to each other next time and tell each other what we've done. Okay, I think that there may be some host committee housekeeping. And if anyone has a quick announcement to make, now would be the time for us to go ahead and make a stack. If you need to share your information, if you need a ride home, whatever it is, come on up. Okay, let me take this time to thank the host committee as well for everybody. With the exception of the pounding overhead and this morning not getting in, this was excellent and well run.
closing ceremony, but I don't want to do it until we're closing.
Okay,
so there is a closing ceremony. We'll try to get to it as quickly as possible so everyone can get on the road.
According to the agenda, though, we've been kind of loose on that, which feels sort of nice, actually. But we're supposed to be giving our standing committee and working group report. Supposed to. I guess if we want to do that, we can do that. So I'll leave it up to the senators. I'd have to do it top of my head. If you have a report for your committee, would you raise your hand? Okay, Kendra's got one. Anybody else got one from their working group or from their campaign? Any breakthroughs in the last few hours? Okay, go ahead. Okay, this is really very brief from campaigns and candidates working group, and we all agree to move forward to further discuss creating some more standards or the need for standardized candidate criteria, documentation, standardized candidate questionnaires, you know, updating those, reviewing those, maybe a procedure manual on vetting, endorsing, funding candidates. So we're just open to further discussion on these issues. And we talked about county polling, and again, same thing, how to make it more effective, how to use technology more effectively, and just make it easier for everyone to make this happen, how to connect with our locals more when we need things from them, and to, you know, creating relationships between state organizers and local organizers. So we just pretty much all agreed that we want to move forward on these items next time we meet, and on our teleconferences, and on our listservs, and we invite anyone who wants to get involved to get a hold of me. I will be here if you want to come grab my card and take it home and get involved with campaigns and candidates. Thanks.
I give a little report on a joint meeting between Green Issues and GROW. We elected no new folks. What we did is review what it takes to actualize and activate counties centered around the folks in Riverside that are rebuilding their county. We also talked about how GROW and Green Issues are structured, that if a person has a project, be it in GROW or with Issues and Green Issues, please just come on into the committee and be the coordinator of that project, and how to make that more widely known amongst the party, with a slight discussion on what's going to build the party in the long run, the best running candidates or working on issues. And there was a very firm opinion that we must do both. Thanks.
There was a note here also about new coordinator confirmations. Did any of our groups appoint new coordinators at this time?
My tenure will be over coming up in March. That's like around the corner if you think about it. And everyone says, oh no, you're in for life. Well, I know that, but... But my home will need some attention too. So anyone who's interested in doing what I do, you know, feel free to talk with me, because that's coming up soon. And I think it's very important on that note, very important that as leaders and organizers that we continually think about replacing ourselves.
Excuse me, while we're on the subject, Kendra. There is a group, a non-decision-making group that meets each month, the COCOs and liaisons from each working group and standing committee, and I will be bringing up in front of the coordinating committee. I've already submitted a list. We aren't missing many coordinators, of which there's two for every standing committee or working group, plus some of the working groups like GROW use alternate co-coordinators, and there's liaisons that are assigned from the CC to the working groups. So if you know anybody that wants to be actually hands-on involved with the administrative management of any group, I believe there are openings in every one of our groups, and they're pretty easy to get into. If you start attending one of the group meetings for a couple months, it's pretty easy to segue into being that co-coordinator type, and you can really use your help.
We have really great news with the People of Color Caucus. Jean Hernandez has agreed to be our new coordinator. And Deacon Alexander is the head of the Black Caucus. And we have both committees have endorsed the Bashir Leonard. I don't know why I went brain dead here. Phelps, yeah. I voted for him for president before. I definitely know who he is. And you're invited to my 50th birthday party January 1st. 2012 in Ghana, West Africa.
Okay, we can take 5 minutes to do a stack of any random announcements. I think we've all talked each other out pretty good here, though. Okay, I think we're all caught up. So I guess we can appeal to the host committee to close us out.